You're locked in to the leading source for ASU news and discussion. Get your wolves up. It's the Wolfcast on ASURW.com.
And welcome to the Wolfcast on ASURW.com, your home for ASU news and discussion. You can find us on our Facebook page as well as Twitter and ASURW.com. Tonight, we got a little bit different format. It's a two-man show with myself, Terry, and Jeremy. Say hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys.
We are going to do some discussion, do a little catch-up. We've got to kind of pick up where we left off. We had a little hiatus last week, but we're back in the saddle tonight, ready to go. And we're going to talk about the ASU game against the ULM Warhawks a little bit, and then we're going to talk about this past weekend against Georgia State and the week ahead. So we're going to start off by catching up on what we saw against ULM on a homecoming game, October 4th. It was a very nice day, very breezy, very cool, but it was a perfect fall homecoming weather game. But we saw ASU come out on top, 28-14 over ULM. It was a very interesting game. We saw kind of a defensive struggle in the first half. Both teams scoreless throughout the whole first half, going into halftime tied. And then the second half kind of saw ASU kind of open up its offense a little bit and starting to put some points on the board. This game also saw the return of Michael Gordon to the lineup. It saw, you know, some turnovers still that kind of have plagued ASU, but we did see turnovers on both sides of the teams, both sides of both teams. And so, Jeremy, let's just talk a little bit about this game. We won't spend too much time on it, but just let's kind of put a wrap on it and see what we can discuss on the outcome of this one.
Well, as Terry mentioned, it was an ugly first half. A first half that Arkansas State moved the ball up and down the field, but could not score. Something stalled drives out, whether it was a penalty, a turnover, you know, a missed field goal. All of those involved stalled out drives and led to a nothing scored half, which was a game that it felt like Arkansas State had control of on everything except the scoreboard. The second half, Flash Gordon, glad to have him in the back in the lineup. Early third quarter, breaks a run up the middle for 68 yards down to the 3-yard line. One play later, Freddie Knighton's in the end zone, and it was pretty much, you know, coasting from there on out. 28-14 being the final, and Michael Gordon goes for well over 150 yards in his return, and he makes a big difference in that ball game. Certainly, Arkansas State did not play a clean game offensively and could have won this game going away if not for the mistakes that we mentioned, specifically the turnovers. But overall, I mean, you've got to be proud. It's a conference win against a team that was 2-0 in conference, a team that came in to Centennial Bank Stadium desperate for a win, and we didn't let them have it. Special congratulations to the defense for another outstanding game. Monroe, outside of one long pass play in the second half, did not score on the first-team defense. Their last touchdown was after the game was in hand and the second team was in the game. So our defense was just flat-out outstanding and the reason we won this football game.
Absolutely, and we would be amiss if we didn't mention that J.D. McKissick also had a big game. I believe he had about 120 yards receiving against ULM also, so that was good to see kind of him have one of those, really probably his first breakout game of the season, really moving the ball. So it was a great win. Like Jeremy said, once we kind of got that first score, we kind of saw that holes were opening up, and Michael Gordon had a huge night. Freddie had a good night. We did have four turnovers, which definitely have plagued us this season, but they are something that I think we are addressing and kind of getting a hold of. In other Sun Belt games for that week, we had South Alabama travel to Boone, North Carolina, to take on Appalachian State. South Alabama came out on top, 47-21. Georgia State traveled to Louisiana Lafayette, and in a game that was probably closer than a lot kind of had imagined, Lafayette barely comes out on top, 34-31. Idaho traveled to Texas State, and kind of another game that was a little closer than a lot of people thought. Texas State comes out on top, 35-30. And then Georgia Southern travels to New Mexico State, wins 36-28, but was actually trailing at one point in that game. And New Mexico State looked like they could have the upper hand and ended up falling in the end. Jeremy, what did you think about those game results?
A lot of points being scored, not a lot of defense being played across the board there. Certainly, Georgia State, after what we know now, that game, them going to ULL doesn't speak too highly of how the Cajuns are playing. But other than that, Georgia Southern getting challenged by New Mexico State might be a promising sign to where, you know, maybe a Texas State can knock them off down the road. But the third thing would be that South Alabama, who had absolutely no offense through the first few weeks, has found their offense in a big way, and they continue to put points on the scoreboard at will.
Definitely. Definitely, like you said, some high scoring and not a lot of defense. Well, like I said, we were going to keep this segment a little bit short, not dwell too much on that week since we got a couple weeks to catch up on. So we're going to put a wrap on this segment. We'll come back on the other side of the break with segment two and talk about this past weekend. You're listening to the Wolfcast on ASURW.com.
Well, I'm packing up my game and I'ma head out west, where real women come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint, buy an old drop top, find a spot to pimp. Then I'm a kid, rock it up and down your block, go with a bottle of scotch and watch lots of crotch. Buy a yacht with a flag saying chillin' the most, then rock that bitch up and down the coast. Give a toast to the sun, drink with the stars, get thrown in the mix and tossed out of bars. Sip the Tijuana, I wanna roam, find Motown, telling fools to come back home. Start an escort service for all the right reasons, and set up shop at the top of Four Seasons. Rockin', I'm the real McCoy, and I'm headed out west, sucker, because I wanna be a cowboy, baby,
with a top left back and the sunshine shining.
Cowboy, baby,
west coast chillin' with the moon
shining. I wanna be a cowboy, baby,
riding at night cause I sleep all day.
Cowboy, baby,
I can smell a beat from a mile away.
Shake, 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 shake.
Hi, this is Jif, and welcome to Jif's Game Day Tips. The Red Wolves were dominant over the Georgia State Panthers, and we're looking ahead to Louisiana Lafayette. Until then, we can look to a few inspiring football movies to tide us over until the next kickoff. Friday Night Lights, starring Billy Bob Thornton, is the story of the Permian Panthers and their quest for perfection under the lights in Texas. A great cast and a true story makes this movie a favorite among football fans everywhere. Another classic is Rudy, the true underdog tale. Rudy overcame the odds and criticism to play for Notre Dame University. It's a great lesson for everyday life and not just in the world of sports. We Are Marshall is the true story of a plane crash that claimed the lives of football players and fans of Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. A new coach and team re-energizes the university and town, and Marshall finds a way to win again despite the tragedy of losing teammates. Denzel Washington is Coach Herman Boone in Remember the Titans. Coach Boone is an African-American coach who leads his team to victory and unites the whole town as racial tensions run high in the 70s. It's definitely one of my favorites. Get pumped up for a game day by watching one of these fantastic football movies. Then cheer on the Red Wolves to victory against the Raging Cajuns. Until next time, I'm Jif, and these are my game day tips. Now back to the guys at the Wolfcast.
Thanks for that great tip, Jif. I know that there's a lot of good kind of movies that we can kind of watch to get us in the mood to watch some football. Just some great movies out there, football themed. So appreciate you pointing those out for us. Well, let's move along and talk about this past weekend. ASU traveled to Atlanta and took on Georgia State in the Georgia Dome. ASU came out on top with a big win. ASU finished 52 to Georgia State's 10 points. It was really kind of a complete game from what we saw from the Arkansas State team, offensively and defensively. Gordon had a huge day, and Freddie Knighton had a big day. Jeremy, what did you see in this game?
Honestly, I saw a complete domination. And it's not something that I expected. It's kind of a good thing that we didn't have a Wolfcast last week due to some technical issues. But the fact I would have picked it to be a very close game. I would have picked somewhere along the lines of 35-31 Arkansas State. And I was not even close. Arkansas State almost, we had a 24-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. So what you had here is we're going up against an offense who had scored 31 points or more in all of their games but one, and that game being against the Washington Huskies, and they were completely wiped out. They had 10 points. Again, three of those points were caused by a turnover where they recovered a Freddie Knighton fumble deep in our territory, and the other seven were literally in the last 3 minutes of the ball game when all of our starters were out, and as Coach Anderson said, we were playing eight true freshmen, giving them game reps. So that's the 10 points that Georgia State scored. Other than that, nothing. As far as Arkansas State's 52, they came in a variety of ways. They came from Freddie Knighton's arm. They came from Freddie Knighton's legs. They came from Michael Gordon's legs. Just an absolutely all-around offensive performance that we haven't seen so far this year, and if this trend continues, you got to love our chances the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree with all that, Jeremy. Like you said, ASU jumped out to a big 24-0 lead in the first quarter, three touchdowns and a field goal. And let me just touch on that just a minute. You know, we've well documented the struggles that our kicking game has had, and as far as field goal kicking is concerned, and Luke Ferguson made his one and only field goal attempt on the day, which was great to see. It's just something that he needs to do to get some confidence, and I think that we're getting things corrected in the field goal kicking game, and so it was great to see that. Then we score another touchdown in the second quarter, putting score at 31-3 at that point. Georgia State did kick a field goal. So we go into halftime with a score of 31-3, and then come out blazing in the second half, scoring two touchdowns in the third quarter, and then each team scores a touchdown in the fourth to bring that total to 52-10. So it was definitely, like you said, a dominating performance. Our defense was absolutely smothering. The only touchdown we gave up was at the tail end of the game when we had our twos and threes in on defense. They were able to, Georgia State was able to go down and make a score. But overall, it was just really awesome to me to see just a complete game. One of the things that we, you know, in our group had kind of discussed throughout the week leading up to the game, one of the things that I really pointed out was that I really truly believe that if we cut down penalties and we cut down turnovers, that this is a team that will roll. And I really believe that. And I think that, you know, some of the turnovers and penalties have really killed momentum for us this season. I think that they've really kind of stopped drives where we were going to have an opportunity to score. And it's really been difficult to get over. And thankfully, we had seven turnovers between the Utah State game and the ULM game, and yet we still came out with wins in both games, and that's just unheard of. You don't see that, and so at some point it will catch up to you. Thankfully, it hasn't caught up to us to the point where it's cost us a game when it mattered, but it still is going to cost us at some point if we don't get it corrected. And we did cut down on that. Although we did have two turnovers this weekend, we still are working on that, and I see improvement there. And I also saw improvement in penalties. And so I really think that if we can stop shooting ourselves in the foot, that we really, really will be hard to stop. And our defense, there's just not enough that we can say about them and just how salty they are.
Both of those turnovers were involved in freshmen, the first being an in and around where Brandon Cox and Freddie Knighton didn't quite communicate well, and it's hard to put the blame on any one person whose fault it was. But anyway, the ball ends up hitting the ground. And the other one is by a true freshman, Brandon Biner, on a fumble late in mop-up time. So,
right.
Young guys making mistakes there. And, you know, it's good to see that some of the veterans were protecting the ball. You know, earlier in the year we've seen, you know, juniors like Freddie Knighton and J.D. McKissick be some of our primary turnover machines, and then that wasn't the case this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, like I've said before, I think all the youth that we have and experience we have on both sides of the ball is really does kind of shine through sometimes, and I think some of these turnovers are kind of evidence of that. And that is something, you know, I feel confident that the coaching staff is getting a handle on. You know, we've talked a lot about our defense and how good we thought they were going to be going into the season and just how good that they've been so far this season. And it's really interesting to kind of look and see how they rank in the conference as far as statistically. And once I kind of looked at these stats, I was really kind of surprised at where they stand. And so I wanted to kind of go over a little bit of kind of where the Arkansas State defense ranks right now. Currently, through this game against Georgia State, the Arkansas State defense ranks number one in four different categories. First one, total defense. They're allowing only 360.2 yards a game. They're ranked number one in scoring defense, allowing only 20.5 points a game. They're ranked number one in rush defense, allowing only 114.7 yards a game. And they're also tied for first in the number of sacks. We've gained 22 total sacks for an average of 3.67 per game. That's pretty huge. And then beyond that, we're ranked number two in opponent first downs, opponent first third down conversion, opponent fourth down conversion, and red zone defense. Jeremy, what do you think that these stat rankings say?
They show exactly what we've been saying. We've got a defense that's pretty deep in a lot of spots, and we didn't expect to see all the freshmen contribute the way we are. We're seeing a lot of young guys step up and give valuable minutes and make valuable plays, freshmen and redshirt freshmen. For instance, Javon Jones, Caleb Kasten, both of those guys playing huge on the defensive line. Odom, Oda, those guys, also young guys that you're seeing quality minutes from. But you're seeing a defense that is completely winning the battle. If you looked at these points scored this last weekend, as we were talking about, you know, these teams are scoring lots of points from a couple weeks ago. We're talking about games 47-21, 31-34, 35-30, 36-28. But, yeah, we're giving up an average of 20.5 points per game, including two aberrations in that total, which are Miami and Tennessee. You take away those numbers and you look at our numbers against G5 competition, and they're even cranked down from that. So, and of course, in our first two Sunbelt games, we've given up a total of 24 points. And our first team defense has given up a total of, let's see, what is it, 10 points in two games.
Right.
Absolutely remarkable. And it's a defense that can win you games when your offense does not have it. And that's the kind of defensive effort we're seeing so far.
Right, I agree with that, Jeremy. I think one thing that's really remarkable is we do have some leadership and experience on the defensive side of the ball, but we also still have some younger guys playing. And it's really kind of neat to see how we really thought our defensive line was going to be a big question mark going into the season because of depth. And it appears that that's actually been one of the brighter spots of our defense. We've really rotated some guys in, some young guys that have really contributed early and done really well. And, you know, we've had some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. We lost Chris Humes for the season. We've, you know, had some injuries to Q Lee and just some other guys. Charleston Gurley, correct, is out for the season. So we've even been able to kind of overcome those injuries and still have a really salty defense, and it's really exciting to see. I mean, for me, I'm not one of those guys that I'm just a defensive guy all the way, but I love to see our defense just absolutely dominate. It's just neat to see. And then you add that into an offense that's explosive, and it's just really fun to watch. And I think that it all boils down to what Coach Anderson basically said that he was bringing to the table when he was hired, is he wanted basically an attacking, violent defense. And I think that's exactly what we've got. We have a group of guys that attack the ball, they attack the line of scrimmage, and they really go out there and do work. And we've got some guys that are young, and so the future is very bright, and it's exciting to see.
If you look at the guys that are contributing on this defense, it sets up for them to be good for 2 or 3 years after this.
Exactly.
All they just have to keep doing is keep plugging pieces into you know, the holes. And it's pretty impressive how they're building depth on the defensive side of the ball in a very short time when our total numbers of scholarship players is a little bit low. I mean, you think about it. There's 10 walk-ons that were given scholarship to this team this year, and a lot of that was because of the numerous coaching turnovers we've had, where, you know, you lose coaches and in the long run you lose players. But the guys that particularly Coach Anderson recruited in this past recruiting class have not missed. They've been guys who have came in and contributed immediately, and that's only going to pay dividends in the upcoming years.
I agree. It is really exciting when we think about what the future can hold for this team. Well, guys, we're going to wrap up this segment. We're going to come back on the other side of the break, and we're going to kind of tie up the Wolfcast. We're going to talk about our upcoming game against Louisiana Lafayette. We've got a little bit of extra time off due to the game being on Tuesday night, but we're going to talk about that and talk about the upcoming Sun Belt games this week. Right after we get back from the break, you're listening to the Wolfcast on ASURW.com.
Look fine, fine, fine. Put your feet up next to mine. We can watch that waterline get higher and higher. Say, 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 ain't it been some kind of day? You and me been catching on like a wildfire.
Welcome back to the Wolfcast, your home for ASU news and discussion. It's your host here, Terry, with Jeremy alongside, and we're talking about the last couple weeks in ASU football as well as the upcoming week that we've got ahead of us, and we appreciate you listening tonight. Let's start out this segment. We're going to talk a little bit about our upcoming game against Louisiana Lafayette. It's going to be a nationally televised game a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, October 21st. It's going to be on ESPN2. It's going to be a neat showcase against probably two of the top teams in the conference, at least especially by preseason rankings. These two teams were picked to finish first and second, respectively, in the conference. But it's going to be a big showdown, especially after the last couple of seasons, how the games have gone between ASU taking a big road win in 2012 at Louisiana Lafayette, and then Louisiana Lafayette coming to Jonesboro and getting a big win last year against ASU. So, Jeremy, what do you kind of look for in that game next week?
Well, honestly, it's a little bit early to make a very solid, bold prediction as to what I think is going to happen. I am starting to develop an opinion on that, but, you know, there's a few things that could progress in the meantime, namely Louisiana Lafayette playing this Tuesday night at Texas State, and I want to see how the Raging Cajuns go on and play a very much like opponent in a Texas State team, kind of, you know, teams that are all on our same level, and see how they do in that aspect. Louisiana Lafayette has certainly not met expectations so far this year. They were predicted, some people thought they'd run the conference and run the table in the conference, and you know, theoretically that's still possible with them being 1-0, but for that to happen, they're really, really going to have to turn some things around and get on a roll. Right now, they're ranked 104th in the nation in defense, and 84th in the nation in offense. So they're not really excelling on either side of the ball. They're 2-3 overall, and they've had a couple of really lopsided losses, or several lopsided losses. The one that stands out is against Louisiana Tech at home, where they weren't even competitive in a game that they were favored by 2 touchdowns. So for Lafayette, the key with them is they've got a veteran team and a very, you know, a team with very good size and still talent at some skill positions, but they haven't put it together yet. The question is, do they get it together? And do they get it together to Tuesday night against Texas State, or do they get it together against Arkansas State? I think it could go a couple different ways. I think they could get rolling and make, you know, be a force to be reckoned with, or they could, you know, lose at Texas State and then lose to Arkansas State, and they could be fighting for their life as far as bowl eligibility. And, you know, it's going to play out pretty quickly for the Cajuns.
I think that's a good point that you make, you know, about if Louisiana Lafayette is going to play to the potential that they, you know, were hyped up at the beginning of the season. Is it going to be this week when they take on Texas State tomorrow night, or is it going to be against ASU? Personally, I hope that neither happens. I hope that they continue to struggle, but it is a good point that you make, and I think that really it's going to be to our benefit, because Louisiana Lafayette plays tomorrow night. They had a little extra time going into this game, but they've only got their normal week in between playing Texas State and our game, whereas we have a couple of extra days off because we are playing on the following Tuesday instead of this coming weekend. So,
and a free scouting opportunity in a game that they've got to show everything. They've got a tough game. They're underdogs at Texas State.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they can't hold back because this is a conference game. This means something. This isn't, you know, a non-conference game where, although you want to win for pride, you know, that doesn't matter as much as this game will against Texas State. And you know, we've all talked about Texas State and how we think that Texas State can be one of the better teams in the conference. So I really think that it's going to be interesting to watch. I know that I'll be tuned in. I believe that game on one of the ESPNs, Jeremy?
I believe ESPN2.
Okay, so I'm definitely going to try to tune in and watch that game and just kind of scout them and see what they look like. Like Jeremy said, I watched a good portion of their game against Louisiana Tech, and that was very surprising, their performance. They're at home taking on Louisiana Tech and just kind of laying down and just getting rolled. And so, you know, that brought into a lot of people's minds question on, you know, what is Louisiana Lafayette made of this season? Are they really going to be what they're going to be, or what they're predicted to be, I should say. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do. They've had a lot of inconsistency, like Jeremy said. They haven't gotten the play out of Terrence Broadway that they've wanted or seen in the past. And just overall, even though they've got a lot of veteran players, they just haven't played like a veteran team. They've made a lot of mistakes and just haven't played well. So it'll be interesting to see if they kind of, like Jeremy said, get things together this week, or if they continue to struggle.
Some more information on them. Of course, they won only by 3 points at home against Georgia State, a team that we absolutely didn't look on the same level as this past weekend. We looked to be a totally... You know, they didn't look like they deserved to be on the field with us, quite honestly, at times. And Louisiana Lafayette was lucky to beat Georgia State. Or fortunate. They made the plays at the end of the game that the veteran team at home should do. But they should not have been in a position to lose to that team. And they were. Right. Terrence Broadway has thrown 7 interceptions to only 6 touchdowns so far. He's completing a little under 60% of his passes, which is not bad. However, he's only completing those for 5.7 yards per attempt. So they're not really having much success forcing the ball down the field. They're more of, you know, surviving with the short passing game. Conversely, running the ball, they're spreading the ball around. And as we said at the beginning of the year, that Alonzo Harris is not the guy that you really worry about. He's got 63 carries for 249, an average of 4 yards per carry. The guy you worry about is Elijah McGuire, who has 43 carries for 331, an average of 7.7. To me, if you can slow down Elijah McGuire and Alonzo Harris, Terrence Broadway is probably not going to make the plays to beat you. Now, I've said that before. I know I said it about Miami, about their freshman quarterback, and lo and behold, he has a career year, a career day against us, and just slides us up. And I really feel that's the case here, even though you're going up against the senior quarterback, that if you can just make them a little bit one-dimensional, you can get it done. Now, one thing to note is Broadway has 231 yards rushing right now. He is carrying the ball a whole lot more than we've seen in the past. They must be running, you know, some read option type stuff, and it's going to be kind of a little bit different look from them, and we're going to have to defend the run game. But if you can slow the run game down, and Arkansas State certainly has had success stopping other teams running games, then you really put them in a difficult position.
Yeah, I agree. I think that what we have to do is we have to get a performance out of our defense like we saw this last week, where we just absolutely, we stuff the run, we put pressure on the quarterback. That was one of the things that really, you know, going into this game, we had talked about how we thought Georgia State's quarterback Arbuckle was a good passer and could pick us apart if
we
were not
careful. He was 8th in the nation in passing going into that game.
Exactly, and we just saw our defense and our linebackers get so much pressure on him that he became basically just ineffective. He did complete a few nice passes, but it was after, you know, it was in situations where we had real soft coverage and we were kind of playing off. But, you know, we just got so much pressure on him that really, you know, rattled his cage. And I think that if we do that this weekend, we're going to have a lot of success. You know, we talked in earlier segment about ASU's defensive ranking as far as rushing. We're the number one rushing defense in the league with barely giving up over 114 yards. And so I think that we've got to approach this on, you know, like Jeremy said, we've got to bottle up McGuire and Alonzo Harris, and then we've got to watch out for Terrence Broadway. But I think that as long as we do that, we don't even have to play just as stifling as we did this past weekend. We just got to play our game and then let our offense just flow like it did this past weekend against ULM in the second half, where we're opening up holes for Gordon. Gordon is just an absolute difference maker when he's on the field. It is just absolutely night and day difference when you see him in our offense versus when he was not healthy and he was not playing. He's just got speed. He's got the moves. He can hit the hole. And it's just amazing. And it's also amazing to see the throws that Freddie can make when he's got time to throw. Our offensive line gave him pretty much all day to throw this past weekend, and he made some very nice throws. And we've got receivers that can catch the ball, even though some of them are pretty young guys. So I think that we really have a good shot in this game. I feel very good about this game because I think that this ASU team is coming into its own. We're finally getting settled in, finally kind of finding our way defensively and offensively, and really, you know, getting to a point to where we're going to be hard to handle. And I just don't know that, even though Louisiana Lafayette had all the preseason hype, I just don't know that they are kind of what everybody thought they were in the beginning. And so I think that that's going to come out this coming weekend. But first, they've got to get through Texas State. And that takes us kind of to the other Sunbelt games that are going on this week. Even though we've kind of been talking about ASU and Louisiana Lafayette next week, let's talk about the upcoming games. And we've kind of talked about Louisiana Lafayette traveling to San Marcos to take on Texas State tomorrow night. Tune in to ESPN2 for that game. We also have Appalachian State traveling down to Troy, Alabama to take on Troy on Saturday. New Mexico State's going to make a trip up to Idaho to take on Idaho. And then Georgia State makes the long trek down to Mobile to take on South Alabama. Any of those games really stand out to you, Jeremy? Besides the little Texas State, of course.
Yeah, they're all a bunch of yawners other than that, quite honestly. App State at Troy, New Mexico State at Idaho. insignificant. Those guys are fighting for the, you know, back half of the conference. However, Georgia State at USA is only interesting if it's competitive. Georgia State, I don't think, will really challenge USA in this game. I think that it could be closer than the line of 17.5. However, I don't like Georgia State's chances to go on the road to Ladd People Stadium and get a win. So, no, it's those two games. It's ULL at Texas State and Georgia State at South Alabama are the two games you want to pay attention to for bowl possibilities and conference title implications.
It's interesting that you brought up the spread at that Georgia State-South Alabama game. They are, South Alabama is favored by right now by 17.5. App State is going to be a 7-point underdog going down to Troy. New Mexico State is a 4-point underdog going to up to Idaho. And coincidentally, Louisiana Lafayette is a 2.5-point underdog to Texas State. That one kind of caught me off guard. I really thought that even though Lafayette is going on the road, I really thought that due to all the hype that they might be, you know, favored or it might be kind of a push. What do you think about that one, Jeremy? How do you think that one's right, or you think that it's a little bit off?
I think it's about right where it's at. I wouldn't put my reputation on it either way because it's a game that could really go a bunch of different ways, and I don't really know what ULL team to expect. I think so far Texas State has been a better football team, but as I mentioned, will ULL wake up? It's a possibility. I hope it doesn't happen. I would leave it as is and say that Texas State at -2.5 is pretty good. As far as the App State at Troy, yeah, I guess Troy -7 makes sense. And Idaho -4 at New Mexico State makes sense. So the only one that really stands out to me is a little bit out of line is that South Alabama -17.5, only because Georgia State has not been getting blown out by anybody up to this past weekend. If they don't quit, they can certainly, you know, keep this a 10 or so point ball game.
Right. I agree with that. I think that the Georgia State line is it seems high, and it's probably a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction after seeing, you know, the results of the ASU-Georgia State game this past weekend. But I actually wouldn't be surprised at all if Georgia State covers that. I don't think that they're necessarily going to win, but I think that even as bad as they looked against us, how they played people leading up to that game makes me think that they can keep it a lot closer. And they're probably going to play a little bit motivated just because they don't want to have, you know, a beatdown like they took from ASU and then go down on the road and just kind of lay an egg again. So App State at Troy, I really wanted to believe in App State this year. And they disappoint every time. So I look for Troy to cover that and probably then some. New Mexico State at Idaho, I think New Mexico State may be in trouble. I never really thought I'd say that this season about Idaho. But Idaho has been scoring some points and getting close to a win. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they take a win against New Mexico State for their first conference win. And then the line of Texas State, 2.5 points over Lafayette, I think that one's a little interesting. I think probably Texas State's getting the home field advantage favoritism there. But I really hope that Texas State wins bigger than that. We definitely want to be Texas State fans tomorrow night in that game. But that's kind of where the spreads look. That's kind of the wrap-up of the Sun Belt games upcoming this week. And then that brings us to kind of the tail end of our Wolfcast for this week. We're going to kind of wrap it up by giving our prediction for the ASU-ULL game, since our Wolfcast will not really be up to listeners until right before the game next week, and so we'll go ahead and give our prediction and our wild and crazy prediction. So, Jeremy, lead her off. What's your ASU versus ULL prediction?
Well, I think that the way our offense is rolling, or has finally caught a rhythm, we're a team that can only beat ourselves. And I say that with a little bit of fear. I would have not have predicted this game to be an Arkansas State win going into the season. But just the way things have played out, it looks like Arkansas State is the better football team as of this date in October. So with that in mind, I'm going to say Arkansas State wins this game by a final score of 35-21. And the wild and crazy prediction to go along with that is that Michael Gordon finally gets his first Conference Player of the Week. He's put up huge numbers, averaging 10.7 yards per carry in his two games back, but has been a victim of his own quarterback, Freddie Knighton, getting all the accolades. This time, Freddie Knighton goes for about $1.75, a couple touchdowns, and he is your Sun Belt Conference Player of the Week for next week.
Hey, I like that. That sounds awesome. I like that score. I'm going to kind of go similar to you because ASU, we've not generated a ton of offensive points so far this season besides this last weekend. You know, we've scored 28 against Louisiana Monroe. But I think that the way our offense is going, we've got Gordon back. We've got we're getting McKissick the ball. Knighton's playing well. I think we're going to definitely score in the 30s on Lafayette this coming week. And I think that our defense is going to really be chomping at the bits because they know what happened last year when Lafayette came to town, kind of got embarrassed a little bit. It was also a nationally televised game, and so I think that ASU is going to come out on top in this game. I'm going to predict a final score of ASU 38, ULL 21.
Pretty close to mine there.
Well, okay, that is too close. Now that I think about it, I'm going to say 38-17. I'm going to say our defense keeps Lafayette from scoring even more. So I'm going to say 38-17, just so I'm not so close to you. And then my wild and crazy prediction is I feel like I'm very defense-centric tonight, but I'm going to say that our defense finally scores a defensive touchdown in this game for this first time on the season. So
they've been close several times.
And definitely been close. We've created turnovers, gotten interceptions, been great, but we just haven't taken a pick to the house yet. Q Lee got close a couple of times, but
Tryon got close there last week.
Yep, exactly. So I look for them to do that. So I guess that's going to go ahead and put a wrap on our Wolfcast for this week. Appreciate you, everybody listening to us. Hopefully we'll be back to our normal form pretty soon. But I think Jeremy and I have held down the fort and done what we can. So let's cheer on the Red Wolves, be Texas State fans tomorrow night. And you're listening to the Wolfcast on ASURW.com.
Go State. Howl on to 3-0 in the conference.